need on our part to deal with halacha lemaisa. Shabbos and Shiva's questions that come through us, 2 hour Rosh Yeshiva, 2 hour Rosh Kolim, 2 hour postkin, to create an interactive relationship, to allow for the Beis Medrash, to allow for the learning, sharing the chavrusa that goes along with all of us wherever we happen to be, but to create a strong kesher with our yeshiva. And the crowning jewel of this opportunity is certainly to have the opportunity of listening to our Rosh Kribble, Rabbi Shachat Halacha Lamaisa. Shavuos and Shuvos questions that come through us, 2 hour Rosh Yeshiva, 2 hour Rosh Kolim, 2 hour postkin, to create an interactive relationship, to allow for the Beis Medrash, to allow for the learning, sharing the chavrusa that goes along with all of us wherever we happen to be, but to create a strong kesher with our yeshiva. And the crowning jewel of this opportunity is certainly to have the opportunity of listening to our Rosh Kribble, Rabbi Shachter. Without further ado, I'd like to invite Rabbi Aryeh Sokolov to introduce the Rosh Kolel, to know that there are shaylos that have been posed to the Rosh Kolel, Mara Makomos that we have, that we are part of our packets, and perhaps the opportunity of being able to answer Rosh Kolel shaylos as they come through as a part of this working interactive session. Rabbi Aryeh Sokolov.
First, I was asked to announce that there are Beis Yitzchaks available for anyone who wishes. They are last year's Beis Yitzchak, and if you would be inclined, you can send a donation to the student organization of Yeshiva. Last night, we were listening to Rabbi Gewirtz speak, and he spoke very movingly about Hakaras HaTov. Hakaras HaTov is such an integral part of a person's Avodas Hashem that it is really, it's essential to proper understanding of what it means to be an Oved Hashem. Last night, he spoke about the Hakaras HaTov that we need to feel towards the yeshiva. And there is no doubt about it, as I grow older, the more I come to realize how much whatever I am today is clearly because of the yeshiva in which I live. Yeshiva, I spent many, many years in yeshiva. I was Baruch Hashem Zoche to learn Torah from many wonderful Rosh Yeshiva. And whatever I am, I owe completely and totally to the yeshiva and to the Rosh HaYeshiva as well. And today I think that we should feel a special Hakaras HaTov to the Ribbono Shel Olam, because he planted within our midst a gift. He gave us a gift. And the gift is Harav Shechter. Harav Shechter, I don't think anyone needs any kind of report as to who Harav Shechter is. I think we all know who Harav Shechter is. Harav Shechter is a unique Talmud Chacham living in our generation. He really is an individual who has amassed such a breadth of knowledge of Torah in Poskim, in Bavli, in Yerushalmi. He has achieved such a stature in terms of learning. It's something which in this generation we really, really, I believe, need to be grateful for, that we have such a person to whom so many of us can turn for guidance, for shilas, because he's a person who understands, not only in the realm of technical shilas, but even in areas in which I believe Rav Shechter will touch upon today, areas relating to personal matters, where I myself have seen issues relating to personal problems, where one has approached Rav Shechter and he so very easily have been brought to tears, because he clearly felt the pain and the plight of the individual with whom he was trying to help resolve a very, very difficult problem. And that's a blend that we don't always see. and it's a bracha, and it's a gift. So I show on my hakaras hatov to the yeshiva for my own learning, the Rav Shechter, with whom I spent a few years in the Kollel, and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us this great Talmud Chacham. And without further ado, I introduce Rav Shechter.
Before Rav Shechter begins, I still have a few of the Marim Makomos that he had helped prepare for us.
In the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, there's a discussion of the mitzvah piri v'rivya, and we all know the Gemara in Yevamos that says that we paskin like the Beis Hillel, that one is only a fulfillment of the mitzvah piri v'rivya if he has a son and a daughter. Then the Gemara says that not only should one have two children, a son and a daughter, the Gemara understands that to mean that even if he had children, he should continue to have more children, and the Gemara says, like Rabbi Akiva, he had Talmidim when he was young, he had Talmidim when he was older, and it's a good thing that he had the Talmidim when he was older, all the younger Talmidim passed away. You should try again. We live in a generation where people, Balabatim, are being encouraged to have more children, to have larger families, because of the mitzvah, Le'erev HaTanach Yadecha, and also because of the fact that so many Jews were killed during the war. We have to make up for all of those lost souls. But sometimes when the Balabatim come for advice, you have to give them Sechavik advice. Bifal is Ashir. What is the Shir that's expected, Le'erev HaTanach Yadecha? You have sometimes families that have 13, 14 children. Is that takeh required? Every year they should have a child. I remember there was one prominent Rebbe in the yeshiva who was proud to announce in public, kimat in public, he almost spoke in public about this, that he has for every year that he was married, that his wife was able to, he has a child or a miscarriage. But it was crazy. He has either a child or a miscarriage. That's what you're bringing about. And the wife can drop dead from having a miscarriage. You have one after the other after the other. I thought it wasn't normal. It's Yankov Avinu had 13 children that are described in the Tanakh. He had four wives. He didn't have one wife, had 14 children, 13 children. He had four wives. Each wife had a couple of children. Has to be within reason. The mitzvah of having children is only fulfilled. The mitzvah of Piriviridi is only fulfilled if you raise the children, you machanach the children, you give them hadrocha. Sometimes a person has so many children, sometimes people will be successful in being mechanic of all the children. But if a person doesn't think he will be able to succeed in being mechanic of all the children, he's not doing anybody a favor by having so many children. I know in my neighborhood we had a certain fellow, happened to be a graduate of the yeshiva. He was a medical doctor. He wasn't a Muslim medical doctor. He wasn't all there. And his wife was a Gioris. She wasn't all there. And he had one child after the other, and he asked the Rabbanim, he didn't ask the Rabbanim from the Rabbinic alumni, he asked the Rabbanim from Bennett Avenue, and he said, yeah, more children, then ultimately he got divorced, and he cracked up, and all the children are being brought up like Yisraelim now. It was all the Balabatim in the neighborhood thought that it was ridiculous. Why the Rabbanim kept on encouraging to have more children? It should be within reason, it should be with Seichel. The Pashtus perhaps is in Shulchan Aruch, they don't discuss it. The Pashtus is that Babek is Ra'as Erecha, he should have a son and a daughter. Have another son and another daughter. You have two children is the basic minimum. And have another two children. If you like children, I have to have nine children. We have nine children. My wife enjoys children, so we have nine children. Okay. But other people, if they don't, I remember we were in the hospital at this when my wife was giving birth to her seventh child or something. So. Another Rebbe from Yeshiva who was there in the hospital, his wife just had her first. And Nebuch, she had such a difficult delivery, she was half dead. And my wife was bouncing around, she just had the baby the day before. My wife was running around and greeting all the other guests on the floor and asking how they are. So this one who just had their first child, so the husband, Talmud Chacham, but Atmim is Dikusa, he says, darling, someday we'll also have seven. She was ready to drop dead that she had the one. He tells her we're going to have seven. It says in the Shulchan Aruch that sometimes the Rabbanim should encourage the Balabatim, the Ramah quotes, sometimes they should encourage the Balabatim not to have so many children. The Ramah quotes from the Trumas Adeshin. that if a person had children from his first wife and they're already grown, and now he's going to have children from his second wife, there's going to be a tremendous age gap between them, and he can foresee sechsuchim between the younger children, the older children, this from the first wife, this from the second wife. So they recommend the Shulchan Aruch that he shouldn't fulfill this layer of Atanach Yedecha, because we don't consider it a mitzvah min HaTorah, we don't consider it a mitzvah min HaRabbanan. It's considered a midas chasidus, and whenever there's a problem, whenever there's a difficulty, so you recommend that you don't have so many children. And they quote as a mocker for this, the Ramah quotes at Trumas Hadesh, and quotes as a mocker that the Mishnah says that mitzvahs yibum kaidamis le mitzvahs chalitz. It says in Chumash, it's preferable to have yibum. And second best, if you can't perform yibum, then you do chalitza. But it's really preferable to perform yibum. And nonetheless, the Gemara says, when a couple comes to discuss with the Bezin whether they should have yibum or chalitza, so it says, Master Bezin should give them asin lo eitza hahugenes lo. They should give reasonable advice. What says the reasonable advice? So the Gemara says the advice, part of the advice that they give is that if the almana is much older than the yavam, or the Yavam is much older than the Yavama, that you recommend that they shouldn't do Yibum, they should prefer to do Chalitza. Hi, some people marry and there's a 20-year age gap, there's a 30-year age gap, and they have happy marriages. The Netziv's second wife was up to 30 years younger than the Netziv's first wife, was older than him. He married Rabitzel of Valozhin's daughter, she was older than him. I remember Rav Soloveitchik's sister, Mrs. Meisen, was trying to convince me to marry someone from their family years ago when I was single. So I said, what do you mean? She went to school with my sister. She's around 3 years older than me. So she said, oh, in our family, that's okay. Then Tziv married a girl who was significantly older than him. All right, then Tziv did. So, and then Tziv's second wife was up to 30 years. He married his niece. His second wife was the daughter of the Or HaShulchan. That's why the Torah Tmima refers to Tziv as Gisi Doidi, my uncle, my brother-in-law. So she, the second wife, was up around 30 years younger than the Netziv. So there are cases where it works out, but generally we recommend that you shouldn't do that, even in a case where it's really mitzvah yibum kaidamis le mitzvah chalitza. So that's what the Ramah quotes this from the Trumas Hadesh, that sometimes we should recommend to families that they shouldn't have too many children because they're just going to be looking for trouble. Here in those who live in Brooklyn sometimes see situations, circumstances, where you have children going to yeshiva. So the families who have, those couples who have smaller families, fewer children, are expected to pay full tuition in the school. And those who have 14 children hardly pay any tuition. And they're paying for the other ones. And it causes tremendous friction in the community. Why should I pay for his children? Who told them to have so many children? And then they have to go around collecting for Hachnasas Kala. They can't marry all the children. They can't raise all the children. So we have to pay the people that have me. I have 9 children. We're talking those who have the smaller families, they have to pay the tuition, they have to pay to marry over the... So who told you to have so many children in the first place if you can't take care of them? So there's no mitzvah to have so many children. So sometimes that's really the Eitzah HaHugenes Lo. Sometimes the Rabbanim have to keep in mind, to be Mechanech the Baal HaBatim, not to think that it's such a mitzvah to have so many children. That's a big question. What are the forms of birth control that are recommended and which ones are prohibited? I published an essay about that. Usually when boys are engaged and they want to get married and they want to discuss birth control, so I don't want to bop them over the head to say that they're not allowed to do this. They may want to do what they're not supposed to do. So I recommend they should read my essay and pass it on your own how much of it applies to you. It was published, I think, in the first RJJ journal. In fact, Rabbi Al Cohen, who was the editor of the RJJ journal, before he started printing, went to Rabbi Yankel Kamenetsky to ask of him whether he thinks it's a good idea, a bad idea, to publish such a journal with Halach in English. Rabbi Yankel told him he thinks, that's what Al Cohen told me, he said he thinks that it's a good idea, and he gave this as a marshal. He said that everybody knows that the birth control is a problem. All the B'nai Yeshiva know the birth control is a problem. But then they don't want to have so many children, so then they want to do on their own, and they violate. They do it in the worst possible way. So he said he recommended you should publish as a journal, and one of the first volumes should have this discussion about the birth control. What's mutter, what's us? So at that time, Rabbi Yalkon told me, he asked all the famous rabbis who at that time used to always talk about birth control. No one wanted to touch it. Everyone was afraid. So I was the shaker. So I wrote the essay about Akala Kal Tchila, which is more mutter, which is less mutter, which is us, and so on. And when it's recommended, when it's not recommended, to practice birth control. when the children are in high school, it's already recommended that the teachers in the high school, the rebbes in the high school, should already make them aware, should sensitize them to the issues of Isuri Kuhun and Isuri Kol. Sometimes the children won't, sometimes the boys don't realize that they're not allowed to, a Kohen doesn't realize he's not allowed to marry a Grusha, Zayna v'Halola. Grusha is more or less, they all know. Zayna v'Halola, sometimes they read the Chumash, they don't know what it means. If they, even though they know what it means, if they don't, somehow they don't relate it to themselves. So maybe in the high school years it would be a good idea to start giving them these definitions and explaining to them whom they're not allowed to marry. And explaining what Mamzeris is. That's the time that they're going to start to think about getting married in high school. We have to explain to them what Mamzeris is and whom they're not permitted to marry. I just wanted to discuss a little bit about Zona, or the din is that a Kohen is not permitted to marry a Zona. What's the definition of a Zona? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Psak of the Rambam. There are different opinions among the Tanoim. In Perek HaBo Yevinta, the end of, in Yivam is the end of Perek HaBo Yevinta. But the Rambam paskins in Isuri Bia that the definition of Zayna is an Isha who's Nivala L'Posala. The woman was Nivala. For example, a woman marries a Cholol, which is perfectly Mutta. Cholol means a Kohen, married a woman who's prohibited, a Kohen married a Grusha, Zayna V'Halola, and then he has children, so the children will be Cholol. So the Cholol is allowed to marry anybody he wants. The rabbi, perfect Orthodox rabbi, can be Mesadik Kiddushin, he can read the Shidduch, absolutely nothing wrong. A Cholol can marry anybody he wants, but the woman who is living with the Cholol, the Heter Gomer, is considered a Zayna, even though it's no fault of her own. And on the other hand, you have, for example, let's say a couple was married, not married, living the Yisr, and they didn't observe Taras HaMishpocha. And every time they were together, they were in violation of the Yisr Koris. What could be worse than that? The Yisr Koris of Nido. So the Rambam says that's not a Zayna. So the Rambam writes, Hol, Amadato, the gist of the Halacha is that this definition of Zayna is unrelated to whether an Aveira was violated or not. The one is living by Aveira, he's not even married to the girl, and they're a violation of Taras HaMishpacha with an Issa Taras every time. The woman is not a Zayna. And the other case where it's Mamish, Beheta Gomer. The Cholol married an Isha, Yisraeli, Skshera, no problems, everything Beheta Gomer. The woman does become a Zayna. So the Rambam writes, Hola, Marato, Rav Soleitchik, every so often would read this Rambam to give the definition of what the Zayna is. So the Rambam writes, it's not a function of whether an Aveira was violated when they were living together. It's rather a function of, as the literally, Nival al Apostol of Psola, whether the man has a shame psul, the man with whom she was living, did he have a shame psul or not? So if the man is a cholol, or the man is a mamzer, the man is an eved, you don't have too many avodim around today, but mamzerim, chololim, we do have around. So if the woman is nivala to a cholol, to a mamzer, to a nachri also we have a lot. So then the woman becomes a Zayna, and she's prohibited to marry a Kohen. Remember years ago, Baal Bos was telling me, Achochma Kunz Heichi Timtzi, he tells me, wants to see if I know how to learn. So he tells me a woman was married to a man, and then after a couple of years they got divorced, and he gave a get, and then the side of the get was Rabbi so-and-so, and the Agudas Rabbanim, absolutely the get was 100%. And then later on, the shaila was whether she's allowed to marry a kohen, and they said, yeah, she's allowed to marry a kohen. That the grusha is allowed to marry a kohen. So I said, it's impossible. So he says, no. The answer, the punchline was that they discovered that the first husband was a goy. So since the first husband was a goy, so the tigidushim were not tofsin. So there's no need for the get. So the woman is nishkin grusha. So I said, but the woman is the hazayna. She nivala tel goy. Never heard of that. And this was a learned balabas. Never heard of that. And this is a story. He was there. He heard this story, and that was the whole kunst, the whole chachma was, that since the first husband was a goy, there was known they were never married, so there's no need for a get. So she's not a grusha, but they forgot about the din of zayna. That's the law. If the woman is, even if it was by mistake, she didn't realize that the first husband was a goy. That's nivul al apostle. The Mishnah says even she was nensa by the goy. Even she was nensa by the goy. So the Mishnah in Ksuvah said she's prohibited to marry a kohen later on. So the Mechaber writes in Shulchan Aruch and Ebenezer that that's the definition of Zayna. He quotes from the Rambam. Very often the Mechaber quotes verbatim from the Rambam. That's the definition. And the Mechaber leaves out the Rambam, and the Mechaber leaves out all the other opinions of the Tanoim and the Amoraim regarding the definition of Zayna. The Beis Shmuel on the side of the Ebenezer recommends that since there are so many other Rishonim who disagree with the Rambam, other Rishonim, the Smag and the Smak and others, and say you should be choshish for the views of the other Tanoim, so he says the proper thing is to be choshish for the other shittas, that there are more categories of Zoyna. L'mashal, the Gemara has a machlekes hatanoi, and one Tana is of the opinion that pone habo'al apnuyo, shelo l'shemishus haso Zoyna. If a woman was ever mizana, once in her life, a single girl was mizana, she already becomes a Zoyna. So we have the Gemara, the Girsa that we have in the Gemara, Mama says that we absolutely don't paskin like this Tana Rav Lezer. That's out of the question. Other Rishonim didn't have that Girsa, but that's already not quoted in Shulchan Aruch. That's Rabbi Yeruchim Perla has a commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvah of Sadigoyen. So he wants to make a whole simis, maybe we should be choshish for the other Rishonim, but didn't have that Girsa. But that, even the Beishmol doesn't quote that. So that we don't accept. But there are other Tanoim who say in the Gemara, and there are Rishonim who are machna like that, paskin like Rabbi Akiva, that is Zayna Kipshuta. Let's say a girl goes to university, whatever, and every week she has an affair with somebody else with a different boy. So even if all the boys are Jewish, she's very medactic, all the boys are Jewish, and she never nivol ola akum, never, she's very medactic, no cholol, never has an affair with a cholol or a mamzer or a nochri cholila. She checks all the credentials in advance, everybody's in so. But every week it's a different boy. So the opinion of Tanoim and the Gemara, some Tanoim are of the opinion, that's also called a Zayna, Zayna Kipshuta. Every week she's Mizana with somebody else. So the Beishmol recommends that one should be Choshish for that opinion. So it depends who you're dealing with. If you're dealing with a yeshiva guy learned in yeshiva all his life from a religious family, Akoyim, so it's Kedai to tell him, the Beishmol says, find yourself another Shidduch. If you're dealing with a guy, he's just interested in keeping the Torah, he's not looking for Hidurim, he's not looking for Chumis. Some are from NCSY, about Shuvah. Life is difficult enough for him, so you have to make life more difficult. So for most people, you follow what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rambam, that is not called the Zayna. But the Beishmol recommends for Bnei Torah that one should be medactic to treat such a woman as a Zayna as well. Rav Shlomo Kluger has a Shuvah in Ho'elef L'chol Shlomo. It's a little safer that has a collection of over 1,000 Shuvahs in abridged form, of course. Shlomo Kluger's Shuvahs are pretty long. So a grandson of his, who was named also Rav Shlomo Kluger, after the grandfather, abridged 1,200 tshuvas and put him into a little sefer Aleph L'chol Shlomo. So he writes that the only time this chumra applies, that Zayna Kipshuta, if the woman is mizana every week with someone else, then we should also treat her as a Zayna, like those Rishonim who passed like Rabbi Akiva. That's only if his taka so indiscriminate, that every week it's somebody else, every night there's a different boy. But let's say, 1 year in college, she has one boyfriend, but she's kavua, only this boyfriend. The next year, she has another boyfriend. So that's not called Zayna Kipshut. Even those Rishonim who are machmir, that if the woman is mezana every week with someone else, but if she has kavua every term someone else, every year a different guy, so that since it's Lizman Merubah, so that would not be, you wouldn't have to be machmir in such a case, that wouldn't be considered a Zayna. One of the prominent members of the rabbinic alumni used to serve in the rabbinate in California. So he called me up and he told me a fascinating story that he has in his shul a kohen who wants to duchen, but he's married to a shiksa. So he doesn't allow him to duchen because it says in the Shulchan Aruch that if the kohen is married to a grusha, zayin v'halala, you don't allow him to duchen. And in the same community, there's a Lubavitcher rabbi who was dingzach with him. The holy rabbi from the Lubavitch said, no, that he's making a mistake, that it doesn't apply when he's married to a shiksa. If you marry a goya, ain't kiddushin tofsin bo, you're not married to the goya. The kain who's married to the gusha zayna mahalola, the din is a kiddushin tofsin bo. So does haste that kain who's married to a woman bavera, so that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, he's not allowed to duchen. But if the kain is married to a shiksa, so it's better for the Jews. So he's not married at all, so he's permitted to duchen. So this rabbi called me up on the phone and he says, am I crazy or is he crazy? So the pashtus is, the rabbi is not crazy. The halacha doesn't depend on the kohen being married to the grusha zanam chalala. If he's in violation of the kedushas kohuna, the din applies. Even though ain't kedushin tofsin benachris, he's not married, literally he's not married to the halacha is not married, but he's still in violation of the kedushas kohuna. So havada the din is that he's, that this din applies. The question is, what is the din? So the Mishnah B'chayris writes up this din, that a kohen who's noisin oshem ba'avero, a kohen who's matame lemesim, a kohen who's in violation of the special, unique dinim of Hilchas Kohen, if the kohen eats chazer, the kohen is machal Shabbos, the kohen violates taras hamishpach, or whatever else he violates, he takes ribbis, or chalila, he talks loshen hara, he cheats on income tax, something like that, so he can still do avodah based on the image. But if he violates one of the dinim that's recorded in the beginning of Parshas Emor, that are unique to the Kohanim, namely, he's metamei lemeisim, or he's nice in Oshim Avera. He lives with the Gusha Zanav Halal, or Anachris for that matter. So the Mishnah says we don't permit him to do Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash until he stops and he promises that he's not going to do it anymore. The Mishnah Brura quotes a Machlokes HaGoyim, how far the Pashtus is that it's only a Knas Mederabbanan. There is a Pirush Arayvet on Toras Kohanim that the Achrenim point out. Sounds like the Arayvet thinks that that's a Din Deraisa. But that opinion is not accepted. We assume that this is only a penalty of the Rabbanim. So the Mishnah Brura and Simon Kuf Chot Ches by Nesias Kapayim quotes from the Beis Yosef that there was a machlokus among the Gaonim how far this Knas of the Rabbanim goes. So the majority of the Gaonim felt that it only applies to doing Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, that's the context of the Mishnah Chorus, and doesn't apply to other privileges of Kuhunim. Let's say, can you use him as the Kohen for Pidyon HaBen? Can you give him the first Aliyah? Can he duch him? So most of the Gaonim are of the opinion that it's okay. This penalty, this punishment, this Knas, is only formulated in the Mishnah with respect to doing Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's all. The Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch Paskin is not so. Mechaber Paskin like the minority opinion that it even applies to getting the first Aliyah. You shouldn't give him the first Aliyah, and you have to tell him that he shouldn't duch him. So that's why sometimes you have circumstances, let's say you have some Kohen calls me up from New Jersey and says, Rabbi said he should talk to me about this problem. The Kohen married a Gioris years ago, and at that time he wasn't so observant at all. But over the years he's becoming more and more religious. And now, he became more religious, he goes to the Rabbi Shia. And he came upon a din in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch that the Kohen was married to he's not allowed to be married to a Gioris. So I ask him, are you prepared to divorce your wife? No, he's not prepared yet to divorce his wife. That's shyly he's not asking. Okay, he knows he's not allowed to live with the wife. He wants to know, he always duchens in shul. So he's going to stop duchen. It's going to be such an embarrassment for him. The embarrassment that he has, somehow this doesn't bother him. The people know it's right, it's wrong, whatever. He's living with the gyoris, okay. But now he's duchening, and then you're going to tell me he has to stop duchening. He's going to be dead embarrassed. So he tells me he's a traveling salesman, he goes over the country. So sometimes he's away from home on Yom Tov also. Sometimes he's out of town for Yom Tov. So I said, well, you're out of town for Yom Tov for sure. You shouldn't tell him you're a Kohen. You shouldn't tell him that that you want to get there. If he asks you, you're a Kohen, tell him you're not a Kohen, don't take the first Aliyah and walk out of shul. When it's time for duchening, you should walk out and don't duchen. Shad is in his own community. He's been duchening there for years. And now all of a sudden he's going to stop duchening the way it says in the Shulchan Aruch. He's going to be suffering bizyonos. So I told him that it's a dispute among the commentaries on the Talmud whether he's committed to duchen or not. And even though in the Shulchan Aruch it says he's not allowed to duchen, but since the majority think that he's allowed to duchen, so I didn't think that he has to suffer so much bizyon. Is it bad enough that he has guilty feelings that he knows he's doing wrong? Okay, so someday he'll straighten out. We'll see what he can do to straighten out. But I didn't think that he's mechuyav to suffer more bizyon. It's interesting, this din, that if the kohen is in violation of one of the dinim, thank you very much, one of the dinim that are unique to the kohuna, that there's a penalty with the rabbanon that we shouldn't let him duchen, we shouldn't give him the first aliyah. If you look there in Parshas Emor, one of the special dinim that's unique to Kedushas Kohuna is shaving with a razor. Even though the din of shaving with a razor is shared in common to everybody, but the Gemara says in the first Sugi Nivamas, in the Sugi of Esed Echaloi says that when a Kohen shaves with a razor, not only is he in violation of the regular razor, he's in violation of Kedoshim Yiyud Alekeim. This is a unique Yisur of Kedushas Kuna. So that din in the Mishnah Choras would apply in that case also. Not only Hamitamil Mesim, a Kohen is in violation of Tumas Mesim, or a Kohen is in violation of Noisin Oshim Baveru, or if a Kohen shaves with a razor, it's really the same din. It's really the same din. You're not allowed to let him duchen, strictly speaking. The question is, are we mechuyev to enforce this in the shul? If you know you have a kohen who's shaving with a razor, after all, the Mishnah Brura said Rav HaPoskim hold that even if he's nice and noshim ba'aver, his metamei lemeisim, it doesn't apply. So the whole thing is a chumrah in the first place. Okay, so that's a question. How far do you go with the chumras over here? But strictly speaking, the way it says in Shulchan Aruch, the din should apply also to a kohen. It doesn't apply if the kohen is mechal Shabbos, if the kohen does shara averus. But if the kohen is megalech betar, then the din really should apply.
The Kohen to a Gioris,
That's an important topic. That's what I'm up to now. The din is the children, if the kohen marries a prohibited woman, so all the children are halolim. So if the kohen marries a grusha, then the children are halolim min hator. Now the word halol means empty space, vacuum. It means emptied out from kedushas kuna. So the sons, the kohen marries a grusha, all the sons are permitted to be mitamei lemeisa mamash. They're not kohen. The children are already, the sons are already permitted to marry grusha zayin v'chalolim. The sons are mamash, not kohen, and bein lohakol bein lohachna. What if the kohen marries a chalutza? There are such people around today. There are kohanim who are married to chalutzas. So the Gemara says in Yivamis that that's only prohibited midirabbanan. That's not an isa deraisa. So the mele, the children are only chalolim midirabbanan. So the children chalolim midirabbanan makes life more difficult. So he can't get the first aliyah because midirabbanan he's not a kohen. He can't get the third aliyah because minatara he is a kohen. He can't get until after Shvi because we say not allowed to give a kohen acha kohen until after the Zayin Aliyah. So I think Rabbi Willick has such a balabas in his shul. Kohen married a chalutza, and all the children are chalolim in the rabbana. So what aliyah can he get? So hagman glila, fine. You can give him hagman glila. Mafta, achran, okay, achran you can give him. But never achmanis. You can't give him kohen, can't give him shlishi, can't give him anything else. Because menatara, he is the kohen, but the rabbana is not a kohen. So you give him all the chumis. And the children later on are not permitted to be mitamei lemeisim, because menatara, they are kohanim. If the children will be chalolim menatara, chalol means emptied out from kedushas kuna. So the children, the sons, would be permitted to be mitamei lemeisim and to marry all of the psuli kohanim. But if the children are only chalolim and the rabbana, but menatara, they're not chalolim. So the children do have to observe all the laws of kohanim, lechum.
They don't
do. They're not permitted to duchen the rabbanon, but since menatara they are supposed to duchen, so you recommend they should leave the room before they start to duchen. Right? It has all the chuppas. So life is more difficult. Yeah. Grush also. Yeah. Now a gioris is a question. if the gioris was living with a non-Jew before she converted. So of course she's not allowed to marry a kohen. That's a zona. Even a Jewish woman who was living with a non-Jew is considered a zona. Nivolo l'apostle, she's not allowed to marry a kohen. What if the gioris converted before the age of 3? And al pi din, it's impossible that she was nivolo l'apostle. She converted after the age of 3. But also we know, the metzias is, we know the fact is that she was not living with any goyim from before. That's a big discussion in Achrayin, whether that's an Issa deraisa to the kohen or an Issa de Rabbanon, and the Mela, whether the children will be chalolim in Atera, chalolim in the Rabbanon. The Pashtus is the real Pashtus in the Gemara that it's an Issa deraisa. To say that it's only the Rabbanon is really standing on your head. Rav Herzog has a long chill about this. He tries to make that it's only with the Rabbanon. It's very difficult. The Pashtus is that it's certainly a din deraisa.
Even less than 3?
Yeah. Pashim Shat in the Gemara, the Machlek is Satanai. Why the Gyorishim is Garib Plus and Vashal Shana Mechot. One Tana holds she's permitted to marry a Koyim. We pass him that it's also. And the simple reading in the Gemara is that that's also an Issa Derais. Pashim Shat in the Gemara, that's an Issa Derais. So there is a group of Achrenim who try to say that it's only an Issa Derabana, which in a certain sense makes it worse on the children. Because the children are going to be Kohanim Lechumra and Chalolim Lechumra, everything Lechumra. So it's going to make life more difficult. We had in the yeshiva years ago, we had in JSS, all kinds of people came to apply, so there was one student who was an older, he was already old, he was in his 20s already, he was married, he was working, and he was a kohen, and he was married to a gioris. So Rabbi Bezdin at that time was discussing with some of the rabbis, if he's really married by vera to the woman, so how can he take him as a student in the yeshiva, so outright in violation of an issa. So there is an opinion in Achrayim, the Pashtus is, we don't pass like any of this, but there is an opinion in Achrayim that Kohanim today are not Vada Kohanim, they're only Sofer Kohanim. There is an opinion in Achrayim that if the Gioris was Loi Nivolo, she didn't live with a non-Jew before she converted, that was the case in this instance, that this girl whom the Kohen had married was a Gioris, but she never lived with anybody before she converted. She converted at a young age. So there is an opinion in Achrayim that that's only Midirabban. So if you put two and two together, if the whole din is, if all the Kohanim today are only Sofer Kohanim, and the woman that he's not allowed to marry is only the Rabbanon, so it's a Sveik of the Rabbanon Lekula. So to permit him Lechatchila to marry, to allow a Kohen today to marry Lechatchila, a woman who's a Gioris, who wasn't able to before, that everybody says is not allowed. because l'chatchili you don't allow a Safek Kohen to marry a Chalutza. That's a Gemara. But the Be'evid, if a Safek Kohen did marry a Chalutza, then the Gemara says, B'di'evid lo teitzei, because Safek d'Rabban l'ku. So that was the case over here, that the Rabbi Desmond Olav HaSholem allowed the student to attend JSS, and now he's a famous character. He lives in the New York area. His children live in Lakewood. A right wing, his children are still living with the gear, still, and everybody knows it's a great thing.
You say not living with anybody before the what basis do you accept that kind of
testimony? The Shiloh
is
for her?
So, I mean,
that
she herself,
she's now she's but right now she's Jewish, and right now she tells us that...
Can you
believe them on that time? Yeah, yeah. There's a din of dinim omen, there's a lot of the sofer kashvis, that the person has to be kosher lahayt at the time of Riyas HaMaisa. But in Nisa Vehet, the pashtus is that din doesn't apply. That's exeris hakos lo yoda, that it depends on Riyas HaMaisa. B'shas Riyas HaMaisa, let's say, B'shas HaHezik, we're all watching and we're all related to each other. And then later on, after the people get divorced, then the witnesses are no longer related. So by the time they come to Bezdin, they ate him akosher. So B'shas Riyas HaMaisa, they were puzzle. B'shas HaGodah, they're kosher. So the Gemara said that that's not acceptable. That's only a special din. And moments in the first, but in the Dechonem Visurim it doesn't apply. Many Paschmal doesn't apply to a case where he was a Goy either. Even in moments it doesn't apply, only applies when he's a Korev or a Russian. They say it wouldn't apply if he was a Goy because it's a different, the nature of the Psalm is different.
To what extent are we makpid for the Bedika Dalit Imos that the Gemara in Ksuva speaks about? It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, is that halach?
We don't do it, yeah, it's a Mishnah in Kiddushin, yeah. Some Rishonim say it only goes on a Kohen who's getting married. Even Kohanim, we don't do it. We don't do it today. It goes on Chumris. If a person wants to make sure that he's marrying an Isha Ksheira, so he has to be Baidik so many generations back.
What about Russian Balfuba? And there's a question about the Nemonis, when is a Kohen there? No one wants to call it Shomer Shabbos back generations.
You have to check into it, yeah. We have Grada Akoyin, I think he's a student now in the Smicha program. He was married to a Vioris, and then when he became observant, he was prepared mamish to divorce his wife. He became observant to Eish HaTor, I think, and he went to his Rebbe by Eish HaTor. He said he prepared to, they're both prepared to get divorced. That's all tactics. So then the rabbi said, let's check into it. It turned out that his grandfather had married a Grusha, and his part of the family were all halalim. The other part of the family are still kohanim with the same family name. His part of the family are all halalim. So halal is mamish bein lahakal bein lahakal. Is nishkin klay. Very nice boy. He daven every day mincha in my place. He comes. He learns at a different shin. He comes into daven mincha. He's a very sweet fellow.
Yeah.
Moshe has a cooler. Yeah, Moshe has a cooler that. How does a person know that he's kind of heard it from his father? So the father's not an observant man. He doesn't have namonis to say that he's a kohen. Mm-hmm. That was your emotion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ramosha was of the opinion like that. Yeah. I remember when Michal Shurkin once mentioned that to Rav Soloveitchik, he was very surprised about that. Said, but if the father says he is a kohen, what do you mean he's not them? He thought it was a very shocking position.
The concept of kohen is when there's no one now alive from the Shabbos to the kohen.
Yeah, you have to check out all the members of the family. So if there's no one. Right.
What about the Matzah and the basic Kohen?
That's a question if it means anything, yeah. But Moshe holds in his tshuva, in printed tshuva, he thinks that it doesn't necessarily mean anything. Sometimes they make mistakes. They put the hands on the matzeva on a person that isn't, who isn't really a kohen. Yeah, yeah.
If a kohen's
right,
look at my name.
His name is Kohen and he's not a kohen. How does he spell it? Kuf Aleph Hei Nun, I think. He doesn't spell a Chaf Hei Nun. That people shouldn't make a mistake. Yeah.
And then
she has a daughter. So that daughter, that's clear, is not permitted to marry a Kohen. And even B'di'evit, if the daughter did marry a Kohen, the Rambam, quoted by the Shulchan Aruch, says that Teitzeh. Even if by mistake she married a Kohen, even B'di'evit, they have to get divorced. What is a Sofik in the Gemara is the following case. Let's say you have a couple where the husband is not Jewish and the wife is Jewish. Hakam Habal Bas Yisrael. So the Gemara has a dispute here in Yevamos on Memhei and Aleph. What's the halacha? That's the first of the Maimonides. Hakam Habal Bas Yisrael, right in the middle of the daf. So one opinion in the Gemara is we don't distinguish whether the Jewish girl is married to someone else or she's single. It doesn't make a difference. So one opinion is that the children will be mamzerim, even if the mother is not an Eish Yisish, because this Aveira itself, the fact that the father is a Nochri and the mother is Jewish, this Aveira itself is similar to Gilui Arayis, and the children will all be mamzerim. And we don't accept that opinion. We pask in the Maskan and the Gemara that Akam Habal Bas Yisrael, Bein Pnuya, Bein Eish Yisish, whether the Bas Yisrael is married or single, the Vlad is a kosher and the child is not a mamzer. Now what exactly does that mean, the Vlad is a kosher? So that's also a major dispute among the Rishonim. We assume in Shulchan Aruch means the child is Jewish. If the mother is Jewish, the child is Jewish, despite the fact that the father was a goy, and the child is a Vlad kosher, the child is a kosher, a Jew. There is a group of Rishonim who say not so, Rashi and Tosfos. There is a group of Rishonim who say no, the child is a goy. In order for the child to be Jewish, you have to have the mother and the father should both be Jewish. And if the mother is Jewish, the father is a goy, the Vlad is a kosher goy. What does it mean? If the child will convert later in the future, he won't be a mamzer, because you can only qualify for mamzeris if you were born a Jew. If at the time you were born you weren't Jewish, then you're not a mamzer. You can't become a mamzer at the age of 20. When you convert at the age of 20, you don't become a mamzer midstream. So this is the opinion of Rashi and Tosfos. Bekama Mekamis in Kiddushin and in Yevamos and Ksubas, Rashi and Tosfos keep on mentioning this, and the Mashor mentions it, and Shulchan Aruch they keep on mentioning this. So that's a machlekes among the Gedolim in our generation. Some are machma for this Rashi and Tosfos, most are not machma for the Rashi and Tosfos. Most have the practice, if you have the father is not Jewish and the mother is Jewish, most follow the opinion of the majority of the Rishonim, that you don't require conversion for the child. You assume that the child is Jewish. The shaila also comes up, let's say the father is a goy and the mother is Jewish, and she has a baby boy, punkt on Shabbos, and the bris mila bismana is scheduled for next Shabbos. So is it really a mila bismana? Is the child Jewish and it's a mila bismana? So it's decha Shabbos? So you say, no, the child is a goy. And the mila is a mila shogeris. And the mila shogeris is not decha Shabbos. So they keep on quoting the Shulchan Aruch. According to that, Rashi and Tosfos, you're not allowed to perform the bris milah on Shabbos because it's a milah shel geiris. It's not a milah shel mitzvah, it's not a milah bizmana. And there is this minority opinion from the days of Rashi and Tosfos and early Achrayim, late Achrayim, contemporary, some contemporary Gedolim also insist that you should go to Chum and treat the child as a goy and do geiris. That generally we do not follow that opinion. But the Gemara raises the question, what about here in this particular Gemara, Memhem and Aleph, what about if the goy lives with this Jewish woman, no matter whether she's an Eish Yisish, not an Eish Yisish, doesn't make a difference, they have a daughter, is that daughter permitted to marry a Kohen or not? So the Gemara says, we're not sure, probably not. You say Misafik, she's not allowed to marry a Kohen. So the Rambam writes, in that case, if the father's a goy and the mother was Jewish, the mother was Jewish from the beginning of the conception, not that the mother converted in the middle, It was Hayrasa Valaidasa Bigdusha, the mother was Jewish from the beginning of the conception throughout, till the child was born, but the father is not Jewish. In such a case, the Rambam writes that she's not permitted to marry a Kohen, but b'diyeved, if she married a Kohen, lo taitzeh, she doesn't have to get divorced. So the Magen Mishnah discusses that. What kind of business is that? Why is b'diyeved lo taitzeh? Why should it be? What is it? Only a din de Rabbanan, so b'diyeved lo taitzeh. If it's a real Shaila deraisa, why should you say b'diyeved lo taitzeh? So the Magen Mishnah says something that is very difficult to understand. So Moshe Feinstein has a whole tshuva in his sefer. He tries to make sense out of it. He says, yeah, it's a din deraisa, and still b'diyeved lo taitzeh. How can it be? If it's a suffix deraisa, it's a problem. It's a difficult line in the Rambam. That's how we paskin. We don't exactly understand why it should be so. In that case, when the father was Jewish, the father was a goy, and the mother was Jewish throughout, so in that case, if they have a daughter, the daughter is not permitted to marry a Kohen. That's the Shaila in the Gemara. And the Gemara says, Misafik, she should marry a Kohen. But b'diyeved, if she did marry a Kohen, so we would say, Loi Teitzeh. But in the other case, when it was Hayrasa Shalom Bigdusha, but Haydos Bigdusha, if the non-Jewish woman converts in the middle of her pregnancy, and then she gives birth to a baby girl later, so that the Rambam says, and it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch also, the Beis Shmuel quotes that Rambam, that even b'diyeved, the din is a teitzeh. They have to get divorced, even b'diyeved. if a girl whose mother converted in the middle of her pregnancy, if she goes and marries a Kohen, so even b'diyeved, the Rambam says, they have to get divorced. In the other case, if a girl whose father was not Jewish, and the mother was Jewish throughout the whole pregnancy, so such a girl whose father is not Jewish, she's not allowed to marry a Kohen. But if she did marry a Kohen, then the Rambam says, b'diyeved, she doesn't have to get divorced. But in the case where the mother of the girl converted in the middle of this pregnancy, then even b'diyeved, she's not allowed to marry a Kohen, that daughter, and even if b'diyeved, she does marry a Kohen, she has to get divorced. No, that's not a problem. That wouldn't be a problem. No. Now, the Gemara has a din of Sofik Mamzer, which is really pretty relevant for us. The Gemara learns out from Sukkim that min HaTorah, only Mamza Vada is Aser, and a Sofik Mamzer is Muta Lava Bekol. The Gemara says, Lo Yava Mamza Bekal Hashem, only Mamza Vada, and only Kohol Vada. Whatever, there's any Sofik, it's Muta min HaTorah, but it's also Midir Rabbanan, that's Shtuki Vasufi. Shtuki Vasufi, the Mishnahis have in the last parak in Kiddushin, are not permitted, neither permitted to marry Mamzerim, nor permitted to marry Yisraelim. You go to Chum in both directions. And we Paskin, they can't even marry another Sufik Mamzer. Sufik Mamzer is not even permitted to marry another Sufik Mamzer. So who are they going to marry? They have to marry Gerim. They have to marry Gerim, because the din is that a Ger is permitted to marry a Mamzer. Machloik is Satanoi. We Paskin that a Ger may marry a Mamzeris, or a Geris may marry a Mamzer. The children will be Mamzerim, though. If a Ger marries a Mamzeris, which is Heta Gomor, the children will be Mamzerim. Mamzeris is only created when someone violated an Issa. But if there already exists Mamzeris, the Mamzeris can be transmitted to the children, even though they married the Heta. A Mamzer marries a Mamzeris, a Heta Gomor, a Ger.
Are
you understand?
They don't want to have Mamzerim.
That's a good question. I don't know. Got to think about that. Got to look that up in the Tosk. It's a very good question. So this din of Sofik Mamzer is Muta min HaTorah and Osim HaDirabbanon, even though it's Osim HaDirabbanon, but it's still relevant for us. The din is still here with us in the following sense. The Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Ayin Aleph Amin Aleph has a very important discussion. The Gemara tells the May on the third wide line on Ayin Aleph Amin Aleph, May Rabbi Pinchas, that was one of the Tanoim. Biksha Las is have all kinds of things thrown in. So one country is an issur to the other country means that in Eretz Yisrael maybe they're more miyuchasim. Here the story is fakir. What happened when Ezra and Nehemiah went up to Eretz Yisrael, so all the from Eden stayed behind, like today. After that, Kama Samdina, who goes to Eretz Yisrael? The Apikursim, the Freya, the Mamzerim, the Halolim, the Gerim, the Reform, the Conservative, and the from Eden stay in Borough Park. Stay in Monsey. They don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. So that's what happened with Man Baisheni. When they made the Baisheni, it says, Asor Yichsen Olam Yibavel. You have all kinds of things thrown in. So one country is an issur to the other country means that in Eretz Yisrael maybe they're more miyuchasim. Here the story is fakir. What happened when Ezra and Nehemiah went up to Eretz Yisrael, so all the from Eden stayed behind, like today. After that, Kama Samdina, who goes to Eretz Yisrael? The Apikursim, the Freya, the Mamzerim, the Halolim, the Gerim, the Reform, the Conservative, and the from Eden stay in Borough Park. Stay in Monsey. They don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. So that's what happened with Man Baisheni. When they made the Baisheni, so it says, Asor Yichsen Olam Yibavel, all the Freya, all the Gerim, and Halolim, and the Nesinim, and Mamzerim, everybody went to Bavel, and all the normal Miyuchasim stayed in Bavel. So Eretz Yisrael was an Esau Legabi Bavel. Eretz Yisrael had all kinds of Psule Kohol mixed in, no one knew who had what status, and in Bavel there were more Miyuchasim than in Eretz Yisrael. So the people in Bavel didn't want to marry girls from Eretz Yisrael. Gemara tells a story that Reb Chiya came from Babel to learn by Rabbi Yehuda Anasi in Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was interested he should marry his daughter. He said, no, he doesn't want to marry the Rebbe's daughter because from Eretz Yisrael, he's not going to marry them. They should maybe be a mamzeres. So Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says, my Torah is good, my daughter is no good. I said, sorry, you can't. Because Eretz Yisrael is an Israel of Babel. Babel, they were momi yuchasim. Marry a girl from Eretz Yisrael is like marrying a Sofik mamzer, that you're not allowed to. So the Gemara discusses this when this was still going on. So the Gemara tells that that this Tane was telling over, the Amoraim were telling over. We know that in certain communities we can identify who the Mamzerim are because we have a tradition from earlier years that someone married without a get, and this one married one of the Arayas, and this family of Mamzerim, but they didn't want to say who it is. They didn't. Yeah. They didn't want to divulge who, they didn't want to say the secret about the shul president. So the Gemara says, but how can they stand by? How can the Rabbanim stand by? They know that these people are Mamzerim, they're marrying the Easter. How can they stand by and allow the people to get married? So the Gemara says, no, that's the halacha. Mishpacha shenitma'o, nitma'o. If Mamzerim blended in with the rest of the community and you don't know who's who, so you leave it the way it is, you're not mukhiyif to notify the people. What kind of a din is that? Let's say they're giving, they have a treifa hashgacha. Some faker rabbi gives a supervision, some kashrus endorsement, and everybody, the rabbis know that it's not good. So a rabbi comes to the community, it's his responsibility. He doesn't have to go reis lachaim with all the balabatim, but it's his responsibility sometime or another to explain to the balabatim that this is not up to par. This is not proper kashrus supervision. You're not allowed to eat this. How can the rabbis knowingly allow the mamzerim to marry with everybody else? Isn't it a din of hocheach tocheach asami secha? So the Gemara says no. The halacha says that we learn out from the pasuk that a safek mamzer is muta. What is that? Even though they did away with that din, they didn't do away with the whole din. The din is still here with us. The din of safek mamzer muta in our Torah means that unlike kashrus, and unlike Shabbos, and unlike other dinim, that we say, even though you don't know what the facts are, you don't know that you're doing an aver, it's still considered an aver b'shoigig, by mamzeris, yidiyah so iser is one of the conditions of the iser. One is only in violation of the iser mamzer if the husband or the wife, who are marrying each other, either if it's public knowledge, let's say everybody in the community knows that they're mamzer, they're the only ones that don't know. So it's public knowledge, they have the status of a mamzer. But let's say it's not public knowledge, and they themselves, the couple themselves, don't know that they're in violation. They don't even know that someone remarried without a get. They don't know the facts. If they know the facts that the mother remarried without a get, they just don't know that that creates mamzeris, that's a mamzer yodua. So they know the facts. But if they don't even know what the facts are, and it's not public knowledge, so the Gemara says, you leave it like that. That's not locha. That minatara, there's no isa mamzeris because he's no yediyah so isa. The people involved in the isa are not aware of the fact that they're doing anything wrong. And even though midirabbanan they were machmer and safek mamzer, they didn't say that you don't need yediyah so isa. They said yediyah safek shmo yediyah. If you know that it's a shtuki vasufi, you know that there's a safek mamzeris here. So that's also called sufficient yediyah so isa. But in the case where there's mamish no yediyah at all, then there isn't even an isa mamzeris midirabbanan. Take for example the following case. There's a sif in Shulchan Aruch. Let's say the doctor just came from the hospital and he knows that Floyny just passed away. They were working on something, the guy died. And the doctor's on his way to a wedding. He's picking up the son of Floyny to go to the wedding. So does he have to tell him that his father died? So maybe Seichel dictates he should tell him that his father died. But it says, leaving out Seichel, leaving out the political judgment, it says, strictly speaking, Mikam the din of Lifniva the Sita Michshol, I can pick him up, take him to the wedding, bring him into the dancing. There's no iser. I'm not causing him to be nichshol in an aver. Because we have a concept of shmur proiva, shmur rechoiko, the mechaiva of avelis is the shmur. Before I know about the fact that someone, that a relative died, the whole din of avelis doesn't get off the ground. Kozman, there's no shmir. Kozman, there's no yediyah. So avelis, there's no mechaiva of avelis. In fact, Rabbi Chana Wasserman has a whole beautiful essay about this in Krevitz Oris and Yeromas and Daf Pei Zayin, where he quotes the tour in the end of Yerideya by Hilchas Avelis, where the tour writes, if an Eid Echod notifies someone that a relative died, he has to observe Avelis because it's a milsa davili legluye lo mishakri. So he asks, Rabbi Chana asks, what do you have to come on to such reason? Milsa davili lo mishakri inshi. That's if you would have mikra, then if you would have required two witnesses. So then you have an exception to the rule. If it's a milsa davar elagluy, Eid Echad is also believed. But if it's just plain old Eid Echad, none of these surim. What, the issue of discussing whether one has to observe Avelis or not? Eid Echad, none of these surim. Well, why should you think in the first place that you need two Eidim? So why does the tour have to go give, he quotes the Maharam Gutenberg with this new reason that a milsa davar elagluy, loy mishakri inshi, that's why Eid Echad is believed. Why don't you just say simply, Eid Echad, none of these surim. So Rabbi Chana has a whole cloud based on the Gemara that whenever one of the conditions of the Iser is Yediyah so Iser, So then Eid Echad is not believed. Eid Echad ne'emad bisum, but it doesn't create Yediyah. In order to create Yediyah, you have to have two witnesses. And he shows, the Gemara in Yibama says that on Daf Pei Zayin with respect to Chiyat Chatos, Ahodei lav Chatos ha-shechot aleh. In order to be Chayav Chatos, you have to have Yediyah sa-aveir. And Yediyah means, the Gemara says Shnei'edim, if Eid Echad tells me, Achal techele b'shoigig, I don't have to bring a carbon chatos. Only if two Eidim tell me. So that's why the Aloha Taka says that in order to ascertain that someone is a mamzer, you have to have two witnesses, because without Yediyah so isur, there is no din of mamzeris at all. So Bem is this, and then Rabbi Hanan has more of an arichas. He says, take for example, I'm a rabbi in a community, and I know that this girl is a mamzeris. It's not public knowledge. I know that the mother married without a get, she went to a reformed rabbi, whatever, he married without a get, and no one in the community, the family doesn't know, the people in the community, nobody knows. And I read a shidduch. I read the shidduch between this girl and a certain boy in the community. I know the boy is not a mamzer. I read the shidduch, I'm a tzaddik yidushin, I say the Sheva Brach, I said everything. He said, there's no Isser of Lifni, but there's Sita Mikshol. Because since there's no Yediyah of Isser, so there's Mamash no Isser. It's like Mishpocha Shinitma Nitma, it's Hefe Gomer, there's no Isser. And it demonstrates it from the Gemara in Kiddushin in the end of the first Torah. But the Gemara says that there is a din difference between Orla Beret Yisrael and Orla Bechutzlo. The parents that grow on a tree, the first 3 years are Orla. So if the trees are growing in Eretz Yisrael, that's explicit in the Chumash, in Parshas Kiddushin, the Chumash Vayikra. It says, and a titan called it's machval rachmalos. You're not allowed to eat the fruit. What about oil of chutzla? So the Mishnah says it's prohibited, but the Gemara has a dispute. Is it minatayra? Is it halacha l'moshe misinai? Can't be. There's no chumit. There's no pasuk. Is it a halacha l'moshe misinai or is it midirabban? So it's usually assumed that it's halacha l'moshe misinai. So the Gemara affects takasha. How can it be halacha l'moshe misinai? But the Mishnah said that a sofer kol beretz yisrael is aser. And a Safa called B'chutz Lo'os is Mutter. So isn't that a dead giveaway that oil of Eretz Yisrael is an Issa Deraisa, so Safik Deraisa L'chumah? And oil of B'chutz Lo'os is an Issa Derabbanan, so Safik Derabbanan L'kula. How can you maintain such a position? That's how most of the Rishonim assume, that oil of B'chutz Lo'os is Halacha Moshe Misina, if Sveika is Mutter. So the Gemara says, no, Kachnema Halacha, that Vado Osir, Sveika Mutter. That's part of the package deal of the Halacha Moshe Misina.
How much do we, as Rabbanan, have to be voted to certify the kashrus of the mamzeris of an individual for whom the tzaddik kedushin? Based on what you're saying, it'd be better not to ask the question.
Sometimes it's better not to. You see, you have to ascertain, is it public knowledge?
What is public knowledge?
Public knowledge means, do you have a lot of people in the community who are aware that the woman remarried without a get? I remember once in the middle of the night, it must have been 1 o'clock at night, the phone ring. It happened that I was laying in bed, I was awake. Phone ring, somebody from the west was calling me. For him, it wasn't 1 o'clock. Huh? It was earlier, yeah. He called me, Rabbi Schwab said he should call me. I live in Bennett Avenue, Washington. Rabbi Schwab said he should call me, and he can call me even. Rabbi Schwab gave him permission to call me from 1 o'clock at night because it's a pikuach nefesh. Boss says, there's a boy from the yeshiva, I don't know who the boy is, he tells me the name, he's going to marry, he's holding by, he got engaged to a girl from Stern College, and the girl is a mamzeris, and he wants me to know that they're not allowed to get married. So I say, how many people know she's a mamzeris? Nobody knows she's a mamzeris. He's the only one who knows. He's the only one who knows. I said, so don't tell the girl and don't tell the boy, let them live happily ever. He already told the girl. So that's exactly what the Gemara says, that you have cases. If it's a case where the information is not known, it's not public knowledge, and the Bali Dvarim themselves, the boy and the girl, don't know about it. So the Gemara says, that's the dinner. Mishpacha shenitma nitma. Kozman, there's no Yediyah so iser. The facts are not known to the people. So then there's no Issa Mamzer.
How do you measure exactly? What's called knowing? How many
so the Gemara says the Rabbanim, Rabbi Yechon would tell his students, the Rabbi Pinchas, they would tell their students privately, don't marry anyone from that family because they nashchin asher elam mishpachas miyachas shav Yisrael. They wanted to have children who would be Bali Ruach HaKodesh. So they advised, they recommended that Talmidim should not marry. Even though all of their students knew the secret that this family is all mamzer, but they didn't spill the beans, they didn't tell it to the other people.
It's still called Eni Yodua.
But that's called the Mamzer Sheni Yodua. That's called the Mamzer Sheni Yodua, because the overwhelming majority of the community was not aware, and the Bali Dvarim themselves, the Chasam Chalim themselves were not aware. So the din is whatever they don't know won't hurt them in this case. And Rabbi Hanan Asim, he quotes, let me just finish this, he quotes the din by the Orla. If I have a tree, and I know I planted this bush or this tree, I just planted it. So usually it doesn't give any fruits the first couple of years. But let's say it does give fruits, so the fruits are also b'achila. Chutzlor, it's also, orla b'chutzlor is also. So the Gemara says, if I invite you to my home, I can give you a tray of the fruits. And there's no, if I give you a tray for food, You're not allowed to do that. But if I give you a trace that it's oil of chutzlar, it's since the halach is that you need yediyas or iser in order that the iser should be noig, that's why the din is a safek oil of chutzlar, it's mutter. So what does it show safek is mutter? That without yediyas or iser, the iser, that's one of the conditions of the iser. The iser doesn't apply. So in this case, I have yediyas or iser, but you don't have yediyas or iser. So the Gemara says the Amoraim, holy tzaddikim, would invite each other to each other's home. And they would feed them, all the members of the family would know, we can't eat that stuff, that's great. But for the guest, it's okay. For the guest, it's okay, because he doesn't have Yediyas Issa. So Rav Chanan says, you see from the Gemara, it's a Gemara Yibamas. It's a Gemara Kiddushin, Daf Lamentes. So you see from the Gemara, that there's no Issa L'chneiva L'sita Mirsha, because the Gabi, the one who's needing it, he's not violating any Issa. So they said the same thing. I can mamish read the Shidduch, I can read the Shidduch, I can serve as the Masada Kiddushin, even though I know that I'm marrying a mamzer with a ksheiro, there's no problem, because since they don't have yediyas or iser, there's no problem. That sometimes it's risky to do this. You'll read a shidduch, they'll get married, and then 10 years down the line, after they have five children, then someone will tell them the good news, then they'll have to get divorced. So
what do you say to them at that point?
Then they have to get divorced. Then they have to get divorced.
I mean, what if you know the kala would want to know ahead of time that the boy's a mamzer? I mean, is that not a factor? I mean,
that's another question. When you read a shidduch, what's the din of oinor? Let's say if I'm selling you an automobile, I sell you some clothing and it has a mum, and I don't tell you about the chisarn. That's an avera of loisano ishus amisa. You're not allowed to cheat in business. Oinor means either to charge too much, or to sell an item that has a major mum. So the stipler and many others have, the stipler has in a sefer on kiddushin in es, and many others discuss what's the din of Noah by reading a shidduch. I read a shidduch, and I don't tell the boy that the girl's parents are divorced. I don't tell the boy that the girl's sister is a mishumedes, that she's married with a goy, or something like that. So is there an iser involved in that or not? So the first couple of dates, for sure, you don't have to tell them. Look, all the boys have such a long list of girls. So if you tell them there's anything wrong with one girl, they just cross a name off the list and they'll never even get to look at the girl. So you have to let them at least take out the girl one or two or three times. Shad is, you have to tell them before things get more serious. You have to tell them. So they say, Rav Al Yashiv, and others say, you got to tell them before the fifth date. Before he really gets interested in marrying the girl. You're not mukhayef to tell them before that. But what about, are you talking mukhayef to tell them before the fifth date? How far does the din of Oinor go in Shidduchim? So that's a question. The stipler thinks that maybe Bechlal there's no din of Oinor. The din of Oinor only applies, let's say, automobiles. They have 1,000 automobiles that are exactly the same. This one has a problem. The other 999 don't have problems. So that's a din of Oinor, this Kayotze. What if there's only one Mona Lisa in the world? And I'm selling you the Mona Lisa. I have to tell you what the Chesreinus of the Mona Lisa are. Happens, it's a little old, it's falling apart, the frames, what's an afghamina? There's no other Mona Lisa, you can't get another one. For the same money, I'll buy a better Mona Lisa, there's only one. So the girl, there are no two girls in the world that are the same. That's the question. So the stipler says, there are no two women that are the same, so what are you going to say? He wants the one that doesn't have a chisarn. Everyone has a mila and a chisarn. Everyone has milas and a chisarn. This girl has certain milas that the other girl doesn't have. That girl has manas that this girl doesn't have. So the stipler thinks that maybe there's no issue of Aino at all in Shidduch. That's a question. That's a serious question. Is there an issue of Aino? But this is when a person, let's say, is going to read a Shidduch or perform such a marriage, he has to keep a cheshbon. They may find out later on that one is the mamza, the other one is not, and they may have to get divorced. So you made them a miserable life. You cause them to be miserable. They'll have five children, then they're going to get divorced. It's better to tell them in advance. This whole heter that I'm explaining over here only makes sense if I know in advance. I'm pretty sure in advance that they never find out about. No one will ever spill the beans to them. They never find out. So then the din is whatever they don't know. It doesn't hurt them.
In terms of the anah, does it make a difference to the poor girl themselves or to their parents?
As far as the anah, does it make a difference to the parents or to the people themselves? I don't know. That's the past can talk about. In our generation, this is a serious question. In earlier generations, you don't find such a discussion. In our generation, you have all kinds of combinations. This one about children, the father's a goy, and the parents are divorced. They have so many.
And I'm not talking about besides that. Like,
and the parents don't want to have such.
Have
the parents don't want to have such mechutah. Yeah.
Or the parents, in terms of this is the only Mona Lisa for the boy. But as far as the parents are concerned, there's 20 other girls who I think you take out.
That is a problem. That is a problem.
And back to the question before mm-hmm. about what they don't know. There's somebody bothering too. Yeah. How far is a person obligated to go back and check their lineage? Terms of the Baal Tshuva, Baal Tshuva himself, and terms of the Baal Zachariah to guide them when potentially there could be problems if they give them the difficult generation of 34 or the Gerus of the 34 generation of 34.
I think there's a difference between the Gittin and the Gerus. You see, in the Gittin it's a question of Mamzerus. So you always have this din that a Suffolk Mamzer is Mutter, and a Suffolk Mamzer is Mutter. Now, it doesn't only mean a Suffolk Mamzer. Even if I know it's a Vaday Mamzer, but it means a Mamzer Sheni Yodua, if there's no Yidia. So there's always that to rely on. In Geirus, it's a bigger problem, and I'll explain. The Achronim have a Machlekes, Davni Neza has a Tshuva. He quotes earlier Achronim, famous, Sikheskel, and others from the famous Achronim have a dispute whether this din a Suffolk Mamzer is Mutter Min HaTorah, is restricted only to Mamzeres, or even applies to other Psule Kol. Let's say there's a Suffolk if the person is a Psule Daka, a Suffolk if the person is an Amoine Mayovi, a Suffolk if the person is a Mitzvah Bedoin. So most of the Achroinim are Noita Lahakal, the Avnei Nezer has a Rambam, and Rav Soloveitchik also said over that Avnei Nezer and Shiri, he also thought that that was the Pshat in the Rambam. And Rishonim have like this explicitly, that the din of Suffolk Mamzer Mutter, above of the Kol, is not restricted, not limited only to Mamzer, it even applies to all the Psule Kol. But the Shabbos, what about a Suffolk Gear? Let's say you have an individual who's a Suffolk Gear. What do you have, a person who's a Suffolk Gear? So in our generation, Moshe Feinstein said, claims you have a lot of people who are Suffolk Gear. It runs as follows. The Gemara says in Yevamos that Gear Tzor Shloisha Mishpat Ksivbei. When a Gear converts, it has to be done in the presence of a Bezi. And the Gemara learns it out from a Pasuk. So Tosfos has a discussion here in Yevamos on Daf Mem Hei Amudbeis. The bottom place is Milo Tovla Leni Dusa. The Gemara talks about a non-Jewish woman who converted, and she never converted in the presence of a bezin. But she's very religious. She goes to mikveh every month. She observes Taharas HaMishpach. Everybody in the community knows that the woman observes Taharas HaMishpach. So the Gemara says it's okay. If the woman goes to mikveh every month, it's okay. So the person says, but there's no bezin. Who the you have a bezin? What, you have three men? You have one man? You have one woman? I mean, who's the bezin over here? You have to have a bezin of three men. It has to be bayom. The women go to mikvah balayla. What's going on over here? Where is there the bezin? So Tosfos has two suggestions. So Tosfos has one suggestion. Maybe the bezin is only li'ikuva, even though l'hatchili you need a bezin when the person is tovel in the mikvah, even by a woman. The rules and regulations, the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, how to do that. So Tosfos says, even though l'hatchili you need a bezin b'shas tefillah in the mikvah, but maybe it's only needed li'ikuva by the Kabbalah on mitzvah. So if there was Kabbalah on mitzvah in presence of bezin, that would be sufficient. The other opinion of Tosfos is no. You really need the bezin li'ikuva even by the tefillah b'shas tefillah in the mikvah. But if something is public knowledge, everybody in the community knows that the woman goes with her sheikh when she observes Taharas HaMishpach and she teaches the others how to observe Taharas HaMishpach. So even though no one is actually present at the time that she's actually tovel in the mikveh, since it's public knowledge, it's considered as if the three rabbanim in the neighborhood were there. Since they know about it, so it's considered as if they were present at the time that she was tovel in the mikveh. So in effect, Tosfos has two opinions, whether the bezdin is ma'ake b'di'evit b'shas ha'tfilah. Is the bezdin on l'chatfilah need a bezdin b'shas kabbalah on mitzvah of the gera b'shas tfilah? But what if the bezdin was not present b'shas tfilah, would it be good enough? So Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva that he wrote to Dayan Grosnas. Dayan Grosnas used to be in London, he passed away a few years ago in Yerushalayim. So he wrote a long tshuva. Dayan Grosnas wrote a whole tshuva about this practice that he used to have in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Shmuel Salant, and other tzaddikim had a practice that when a woman would convert, the bezin wouldn't be present in the mikveh room. The bezin would be across the street, and the mikveh lady would supervise the candidate for conversion. And the mikveh lady would tell the rabbanim that she was tovel on the mikveh. They would hear the splash, whatever, so that would be good enough. So Rav Grossman has a whole essay about this, and a whole pilpul, whether it's good or it's not good. And then he sent his whole shtickel Torah to Rav Moshe Feinstein. So Rav Moshe Feinstein didn't even know what his name was. He wrote the tshuva to Dayan Grosnam. His name is Grosnas. So he, it's printed by mistake in the Igros Moshe. So he writes that it depends on the two opinions and places, whether the bezin is li'kuva by the tefillah, and if you hold like that day, that you need a bezin by the tefillah, The fact that the bezin is across the street, and here the splashing is absolutely garnish vert, and Ramosha says in such a case you have to repeat the tvila in front of a bezin without a bracha. Such a woman is a sofik yor, a sofik eni yor. So the question is, let's say this woman is already a grandmother. She married a Jewish man two generations ago. They have children, their children have children. They're all learning in Kollel and all over the place. They have 8 o'clock all over the world. You have to tell everybody, all the descendants, that they have to go be Megayir again, be Sofek. So one of the Rabbanim says, it's not necessary to tell anybody because Mishpacha Shenitma Nitma. Like the Gemara says, by all the Psulei Kohol, the Gemara says it by Mamzeris, and some poskim apply it to all the other Psulei Kohol. So they say, whatever they don't know doesn't hurt them. I, but we confronted this Rabbi Ramosha says they have to do over the Tefillah. Says, no, Ramosha only means that. And we all know what the story was when you're holding by that generation. But if you're already holding two generations later, so there's no need to shake everybody up. You just leave everything the way it is. So I remember about 5 years ago, one of the Dayanim from Eretz Yisrael was visiting America. So he popped into the yeshiva, Dayan Batsri, I think his name is. So he visited the yeshiva. So he was standing in the halls. So he was like standing, he was waiting for people to talk to him with shailas. So I remember we walked over, some of the rabbanim walked over, we asked him this shaila. He said, that's ridiculous. So we said to him, next time you write a tshuva, maybe write that in your opinion that you think is ridiculous. Because there are rabbanim in America who paskin like that. So he says, I'm embarrassed to write it in a tshuva. It's so stupid. There's nothing to discuss. Everybody, what, I have to write a tshuva about A, B, C? That A is A and B is B? He said, it's such a double portion. Mishpacha shenitma nitma doesn't go on goyis. You're misupik if the person is Jewish or not Jewish. They're going to say, you're allowed to marry a Sophic goy. And I tell you, you're allowed to marry a Sophic goy. Of course not. Mishpacha shenitma nitma is based on the din of Sophic mamzer mutam and atar, which either only applies to mamzer, as some achranim hold, and most of the achranim, and the rishonim say, the Rav Yoh and others quote shuvas in the early rishonim, it even applies to all the psulei kol. The psuadaka and tamayne mayavi, to all the psulei kol. But to apply it to Sophic goy certainly does not make any sense.
What about the question of the Jews was a Jewish? That's not a Goy. A Gavada Goy who became a Jew. The question is whether the Jews were done properly, or they were the proper Belgium. Or the Belgium either a sort of quickie Jews.
So the din is, the Gemara says you need Kabbalah on mitzvahs. If you have a ger without Kabbalah on mitzvahs, the conversion is not valid. Now Tesis and Sukkah in the bottom of Chesed and Beis over here, it says page 16 on the top. Tesis and Sukkah has this famous kasha. The Gemara has the discussion regarding the status of the Kusin. The Kusin Geri Emes, over there Geri Arois. The Geri Emes means that they're Jewish, and Geri Arois means that they're not Jewish. The term Geri Arois, they converted because they were afraid of the lion. The historian say from Allah. So Tosfos, yes, the famous kasha, but the Gemara says in Yevamos, Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis, the end of the second parak in Yevamos, the Geri Arois B'Dieved is a good Ger. B'Dieved, if someone is afraid of the lions and he converts Mipachad Ho Arois, so the Gemara says B'Dieved, L'Chatchila, the Bezin should only accept such a convert who's religiously motivated to convert. But B'Dieved, if the convert is out to marry a girl, he's afraid of whatever, he wants a parnos, he wants a job, a high position in Israeli army or something, so B'Dieved, the conversion is valid. So it says the exact same phrase, Geri Arois, is a good Geri is B'Dieved. So how do we say regarding the Kusim, the two alternatives are either Geri Emes or either Geri Arois? They're both alternatives. Is it Jewish or is he Jewish? So he's Jewish Mimanasha. If he's Geri Arois, he's also Jewish, so what's the problem? So Tosfos says that the word Geri Arois has different meanings in different contexts. Even though it's the same word, it has two different meanings. Sometimes we mean Geri Arois by the Kusim, because it says in Melachim, Esalahem Hayu Ovdim. They still worshipped Avodah Zarah. There was no Kabbalah Sal Mitzvah. So if there's no Kabbalah Sal Mitzvah, they said there's nothing to discuss. Of course the conversion is not valid. But the Geri Arois that's referred to in Yevamos Daf Chodal means that he wasn't religiously, what motivated him to convert? He wanted to marry a girl, he wanted to get a job in the Israeli government, he wanted to get a high position in the army, he wanted to, whatever. He was afraid of the lions. That's what motivated him to convert. But then Lamaisa, he converted and he was Mekabbalah on mitzvahs and he does keep the mitzvahs. So if you have a case where there's no Kabbalah on mitzvahs, the din is that the conversion is not chal at all. Now the Rambam has an expression, the Rambam writes, that may or may not be here in the Maran Mekarim, here. The Rambam writes in Halacha Tez Zayin, Halacha Yud Zayin, That if you have a the first line halacha is like Gershala Batka Achra, you didn't check into what prompted the Ger to give it. Oh Shlo, do you a mitzvah Yonshan? You didn't have a Kabbalah on mitzvahs. So the Rambam says B'di'evet HaRez Ger. So this is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that the Kabbalah on mitzvahs is not Miyaki B'di'evet. So many years ago, one of the members of the Rabbinic Alumni published an essay in Tradition. He quoted this Rambam in this passage in Shulchan Aruch that it says the Kabbalah on mitzvahs is not Miyaki. So at that time, Rabbi Soloveitchik got so furious about that, he said that that's ridiculous. That's not the ABC of the Gemara. Of course Kabbalah on mitzvahs is Miyaki. The Rambam means a different thing. That's what Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has in the Igros Moshe, Rabbi Chaim Moshe has in his safe, all the Achronim are like that. It means the drama of Kabbalah on mitzvahs is not Miyaki. The Gemara says you have to have the gear standing in the mikvah up to his nose, up to his neck in the water, whether it's a man or a woman, and then they start giving him the third degree. They've been teaching the gear already for months and months or for years, and now you start chazering everything. Do you reject the Trinity? Do you believe in monotheism? Do you believe in Torah and Hashemayim? Do you believe in Taryag Mitzvah? Do you promise to keep Shabbos? You chazer over the whole thing as he's about to be Toivol, and then Techid Adib goes under the water in the mikvah. So the whole drama of the Kabbalah on mitzvah, that's not Miyake, but that there should be Kabbalah on mitzvah certainly is Miyake. So if you know for sure that there was no Kabbalah on mitzvah, you know that the Ger never kept anything after marriage, different from before, never made kiddush, never benched, never came to shul, never kept any mitzvah. So there's mamash, no Kabbalah on mitzvah. It's like goy gomer, the whole thing is a fraud.
And when you have a tshuva about, he tried to find a source for those rabbanim who did such things, the people who did not, because they saw if a husband or the spouse wasn't to him, so in their mind, whatever Kabbalah mitzvahs they had, oh, Torah, whatever that spouse was doing, that's called Torah, and that's Kabbalah's oath.
Yeah, okay.
But even though there was Lamaisa, there really wasn't any Shmuel for mitzvahs in the house. They did, occasionally something.
I don't know. That's a big problem. If you have a suffix, whether there was Kabbalah or something, that's mamish or suffix, goy suffix yisro. When you have a suffix, if the person is Jewish, this whole halacha mishpacha shenitma, alpi pashtus has no application. It only applies to the psuli kohol. I want to mention a little bit about adopting a non-Jewish child and converting. It comes up pretty often. The Gemara says that ger kot magbin mosa adaz bez, nigman ksuvus dafir alas and alas, is based on the principle of zachen liyadim shloi b'fanuf. Now in Europe, in between the beginning of the century and in between the First World War and the Second World War, there was a big machloikis. The overwhelming majority of the rabbanim were of the opinion that it's only considered as chuz zachen liyadim shloi b'fanuf if the child will be brought up as an observant Jew. But if the parents are not religious, they're not going to give any religious education to the child. Or will only be brought up as an observant Jew. So what kind of a schus is it? Adarabi, you make him Jewish, he has no tariag mitzvahs, and he doesn't stand the chance of keeping anything. It would have been better for him if he remained a goy. He stands the chance of keeping the sheva mitzvahs b'nenech. Hebrim and Achai, he's never going to see in his lifetime. The other demon is telling me he stands a chance. He's not going to marry an Asher Sish. He won't run away with someone else's wife. So he stands a chance of keeping the sheva mitzvahs b'nenech. Yisrili Yesh has an essay about this, so he writes that this was a dispute, Rabbi Yitzchak Chonon, with all the Gedolei HaTorah of the generation held that it's not a schus, and the one who disagreed was the Rav in Frankfurt, Horowitz, and he writes that it was a chutzpah on his part to disagree with Rabbi Yitzchak Chonon. He had no right to disagree, he was outvoted, and in our generation also, Rav Soloveitchik said like that, the overwhelming majority of the Rabbanim felt like that. There's always a minority opinion, there's always a shita fakir. There is a minority opinion that it is a schus. There is a big rabba. There is a schus for a child to convert, even if he's going to be brought up as a non-observant Jew. But that's not the generally accepted opinion. Last year, I think, in Eretz Yisrael, when I happened to visit in January, so they had big headlines in the newspaper. They were writing at that time that Rabbi Chaim Ker Drukman was at this, the head of a committee that the government established. Many of the non-observant Jews want to have no children, they want to adopt non-Jewish children, but they want to convert them. Even though they themselves are non-observant at all, but they don't want to have non-Jewish children. But the Rabbanut says they can't convert a child if he's not going to be brought up as an observant Jew. So the government established a committee to discuss what they're going to do about this. So the committee came to the conclusion that they will be megar the children even, and they will not pressure the parents to give them any Jewish religious education whatsoever. and not to insist that they should give any chinuch to the children. Not even try to get the parents of the children to observe anything. So that's a scandal. It's unbelievable. How can anybody agree to such a thing? So they had in the newspapers, I think, that the non-observant woman who was on the committee claimed that the chief rabbi, I think Ramat Chaliyo, former chief rabbi, said he approved of it. And then the newspaper writer interviewed the chief rabbi and said, it's not true, he never agreed to it. And she said, he's a liar. What means a liar? It's ridiculous. How can anybody in his right mind agree to such a thing? The Ruba, 99% of the poskim hold against that. That's not called Zach Liyad Shlomo, that's a chayva. You're not doing the child any favor at all. You're doing him a chayva.
I heard quoted in the name of the Rav that if the parent promised a chima for the child, then he was reason to be more open.
Yeah. Like Rabbi Luxtein says, if they'll send the child to Ramaz, that's good enough. That's how he says it. The Rav Salvation told him, if they promise, if send the child to Ramaz, and he'll try to keep a little Shabbos at home. But let's say, we have a lot of times like this, the father's not Jewish, the father's Jewish and the mother's a Shiksa. So he wants to convert the child, but the mother's a Hashiksa. So what do we convert the child? What kind of a schus? He's going to be eating treifas all his life, he's never going to see any child. Not going to be anything. What shy? They're not going to take him into a yeshiva. The kid is not going to go to Ramaz either. He's going to be less than Ramaz. Nothing. So what shy? There's no schus in such a case.
There's another impression that a couple looking to adopt should perhaps look for a non-Jewish baby, because then you don't have stakes amongst theirs. Given what Jeff said before, would those stakes not be concerns? If you know your deal, you have no idea where this kid is from, why would we be concerned about taking a Jewish baby if not we're worried about the kid marrying a sister?
No, that's the din of Shtuki Basufi.
Yeah.
The Tanai made a special Zer the Rabbana Shtuki Basufi. If you don't know who the father is, you don't know who both parents are, so that's a special Zer the Rabbana. That's a Safik Mamza. So that's awesome in the Rabbana. But if you have another case, any other cases where there's no Yediyah Samamzeris, then they were never guys. Then they were never guys. We had a case, quite an interesting story, several years ago. Happened to be a Kohen. Kohen wanted to marry a certain girl, and the girl was adopted. It would have been the same shalich, it would have been a non-Kohen also. The Kohen wanted to marry a girl, and she was adopted, and the parents didn't know what the background was, whether, they don't remember whether they were Megayah, weren't Megayah, they didn't remember what the whole story was. So they didn't know, maybe the girl was a Mamzeris. So the boy put advertisements in national newspapers for a couple of weeks. He got the record from the court. They opened up the record for religious purposes, and it said in the record who the mother of the girl was and when the baby was born, what day and what hospital in Florida, something like that, or wherever it was, what day it was and when she was born. So he put advertisements in national newspapers. If anybody knows the whereabouts of this woman who gave birth to a baby in such a day, in such a hospital, could they please notify him? And he gave his phone number. So it must have been also a Maisa. They called him up at this at 12:30 at night. It must have been from California. It must have been, which Meshuggah would call at 12:30 at night. They didn't know that 201 was in New Jersey, and they're calling at 12:30 at night. So the woman herself said, she called him, she says, I'm the mother of the baby. I'm the one. And then, so the boy said, could you please call my rabbi? So she called Rabbi Yudin. So Rabbi Yudin started to ask him questions, who is the father of the baby? So she says he was a Jewish boy, and they both went to Hebrew school, and he was bar mitzvah and everything, and they were friends, and they were going to marry each other. And then after she had the baby, it's 2 months later, he changed his mind, and they didn't marry her. So she gave up the baby for adoption, but they're both Jewish, and they're not related, and no mamzeris, and nothing with nothing. So the shaila was whether he should believe the woman or not. Could be the woman is calling from around the corner. He doesn't know that this is. The woman says, I'm the mother and I was the one. And she started giving descriptions who the doctor was. She knew more information than was enough. She told me what the weather was on that day, and he checked it in the newspaper, whether it was the way she described it. It turned out that they were simonim. But the question is the woman the mother? So it was punked in the, it was right before, I think it was right before the Gulf War. This Maisa was right before the Gulf War. So Yudin was going to Eretz Yisrael at that time. So he asked the Rabbanim, he asked Rav Shlomo Zalman, and he asked Rav Al-Yashiv, and they both passed in the Hokel. that he can take the woman's word for it, that she is the mother, and that the father of the child was a kosher, and so on and so forth. Yeah. Let me just close with one other issue, this taka big issue. Now, if you adopt a child, there's a question of kiruv basar and of yichud with the child. Lubavitcher are machmer about this, because the last Lubavitcher Rebbe sent in a letter to the Otzer HaPoskim, which they printed, I think, in the second volume of Otzer HaPoskim, where he writes that he read through the literature that they have in the Otzer HaPoskim about kissing children, kiruv basar and yichud, and he thinks that we should raise this issue, that one who adopts a child is a problem of kiruv basar and yichud. So the Tzitz Eliezer is known, he has a kula that if you adopted the child at a very young age, right after the child was born, and it was always brought up like a mom is your child, he's nekel that there's no kiruv basar and there's no yichud, and everything is okay. And most of the Rabbanim disagree. Rav Soloveitchik, I was told, was only nekel b'shas hadchak gadol, to the extent that Rabbi Chalap told over a story, Meir Twersky told over a story about his grandfather, that there was a Lubavitcher couple in Boston who didn't have any children, and all the Lubavitcher dayanim say, like the Rebbe, that that there's a problem of kiruv basar and yichud involved. So how can you adopt a child? You'll always have the problem. So this couple came to Rabbi Soloveitchik, asked him, what does he say? So he says, you have a chutzpah that you asked me, you never asked me anything else. On Shabbos and Kashas, Taras and Mishpacha, I'm not allowed to pasta for you. You go to your Lubavitcher dayanim, whatever they say, go. That's what, you have no right to ask me. I can't give you any excitement. And there was another occasion in New York, also a Lubavitcher couple, who were married for over 15 years. They had no children. And the husband contacted Rabbi Soloveitchik on the phone, and he told him what his issue was. He wanted to discuss with him. So the Rav made an appointment with him. He should meet him in his apartment on a Wednesday afternoon. Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday afternoon. So the husband came on that day, and he was ringing the bell, and there was no answer. So he went across the street to Rabbi Halap's office. He said, where's Rabbi Soloveitchik? He told me to make an appointment with Rabbi Soloveitchik. So Halap called up the Rav in his apartment, and he answered the phone. So he said, Rebbe, the man is ringing the bell. So he says, I know he's ringing the bell. I don't know what to tell him. So he said, what do you don't know what to tell him? He made an appointment. So take him in, tell him something. You can't just not answer the door. He says, okay, send it back to the apartment. Typical story. So the man came back. Then, three quarters of an hour later, he goes past to Rabbi Chalap and says, I don't understand. Rabbi Soloveitchik was giving me a drosha for 45 minutes the way the halacha is not etched in stone, and b'shas atchak v'mekel, 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 it's not so rigid, v'mekel. And then, after 45 minutes, he's sitting with his tongue out. And then he says, I tell you what, you come back to me next year. If you still don't have any children, and we'll see what we can do. So he says, what is he, crazy? I've already married 15 years, and the doctor says not shy. So Chalap says, what can I tell you? That's what he did. So he said, P.S., they had a baby. They had a baby boy. It was 10 months later, they had a baby boy. So the father called up Rabbi Soloveitchik to Boston. He wants him to be the son. It's your baby. So the Rav said, it's not my baby. I have nothing to do with this. It's not my baby. It's your baby. Anyway, he said he was already old, he was falling apart. The Rav said, he's sorry, he just can't make it to the bris, he should have nachas and everything. So the Rav also was not so up. Some people thought the Rav Soloveitchik was absolutely mekel, no problems at all. The Rav was also only because she godel, b'shas hatcha godel, he said that there's no insecure about it. The one who's the big mekel is Rav Moshe. Moshe had great places. Rav Moshe has a tshuva, the Igvus Moshe, when he quotes the Gemara in the end of Soita, but the Gemara has a machlokes whether a... Let's say you had a couple, the husband and the wife are previously married. The husband has a child from a previous marriage, the husband has a daughter from one marriage, and the wife has a son from another marriage, and then they were brought up together. So if when they married, they were already older teenagers, and they weren't brought up together, so then there's no problem for sure they're permitted to marry each other. They're not even half-brothers and half-sisters, they have no shaykhs with each other. But what if they were brought up for quite a few years? So that's a machlokes amoraim in the Gemara. Do you permit them to marry, or do you say no? There's a marriage sign. People will think that a brother is marrying a sister. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that it's mutter. That there's no zeir de rabbanon, because people will know already that it's that they're not related. That they're not even half brother and half sister. So Rav Soloveitchik only says that it's a big shas hadchak gadol. But people usually are not such big chassidim. They don't follow everything that Rav Soloveitchik said. If they're prepared to follow Rav Moshe Feinstein's school this once in a while, so it's kedai to recommend this school. Okay. Yeah.
I would imagine that my dream draft is
for an extremely informative and meaningful presentation, and I'm sure all of the Rabbanim will be able to take this information back and apply it immediately. Thank you very, very much.